Hello? It's an appropriate word, I guess. I'm the ghost of Christmas future. It's very nice to be here tonight. My dog doesn't recognize me either. The photo on the poster, who is that guy?
Thank you.
This song for my grandmother long after I had written this song. I wrote the tune. I had no idea why. I never have any idea why. If you have a reason for writing a tune, you should stop writing it. That's my prejudice, and I'm sticking to it. Who would write for a reason? I mean, you sit down, you something happens. That's what, you hope something happens. That's what it is. This job is a lot of waiting and a lot of... waiting to wait. If you're at home, you're waiting to wait. If you're in the dressing room, you're waiting. If you're on stage, you're gone. I mean, up here, if you have anything at all in your head, you're going to be in trouble. There's other trouble that happens because there is nothing in your head, but that I can't worry about. Actually, I'm not going to play that. I'll play Grandma's tune a little later. Soon for Ethel. Okay, here comes Ethel. When I wrote this, I called it The Fisherman because it sounded like fishing to me. It doesn't take much for me to find a title. And I'm talking about, you know, rod and reel. where the fundamental really isn't catching the fish, it's just tossing the spoon all the way out there, hearing it plop. My grandmother was into a cane pole and a bobber. And she loved killing sunfish. She liked to rip them out of their environment and watch them starve for oxygen in the bottom of her boat. She was a brute. Ethel the brute. That's what I thought at the time. You know, I was about, who knows, 53 years old. I don't know. But I was more or less, you know, not much bigger than, I mean, you know, I was kind of on the bottom of the boat myself. And she was otherwise this sort of shimmering, very smooth, kind of graceful wit that would float around, often very quiet. And she loved to smoke pell-mells, which I got into later on, so I could see the binnacle on a submarine. That's not a lie. And excuse me, this is a nervous habit here, but stop. And but all of that ended when she got in the boat. She dressed differently. She wore a hat, terrible hat. And getting the boat, I would put the worm on the hook because it would make me a man, a five-year-old man, you know. And she dropped that thing in the water before the worm had reached its fate down there, which is, you know, probably, well, where the worm was, probably 3 feet down. The fish, you know, if they were into the bottom, were down 6 feet. And maybe that's why she thought when she started screaming at them that it might reach them. I don't think fish can hear very well. But they were sons of bitches as far as she was concerned. I think she was at that point in her life when she had her bobber on the water did she indulge in her rage. I learned long after she died that she, for a while, wrote for True Detective and True Romance during the Depression. Those magazines and other pulp were the only thing people could afford to read. They're very cheap. The paper they're printed on dissolved in half an hour. So you had to be compressed, concise, declarative, and done. That was what they looked for. And when I heard this, I said, well, where are the... Well, nobody knows. I said, well, did she write a lot? Well, no, her husband, his name was Herb, her husband told her she can't do that. That it redounds poorly on his standing in the community. There's a word I really have trouble with, community. Let's talk about vague. No, I won't. I won't. So instead of not writing, she wrote from then on under a pseudonym. And I asked my mother, what was the pseudonym? She said, I don't know. So sad. Thank you. your home. Stealing the menudo from the back of pizza towers. That was the beginning of the start. You've been taking a tequila up until the after hours. But don't you take it too hard, 'cause it's been 5 long years since you ride the train to Chico. Now you're in the back of a truck, but that's what's from robbing the last train to Chico. So goodbye, and Enrico, good luck. Richard Nixon by that plane in San Bernardino, tell him he relied on bluffs too much. Did he smile and say he trusts you wearing running shoes? Was his pardon for your felonies a crutch? It's been 5 long years since you robbed a train to Chico. Now you're in the back of a truck, but that's what's from robbing the last train to Chico. So goodbye, and Enrico, good luck. Chico, now you're in the back of a truck, but that's what's from robbing the last train to Chico. So goodbye, and Enrico, good luck. So goodbye, and Enrico, shuts down, you'll find that it's stranger than known. Signs in the street that say where you're going are somewhere just being their own. Afraid of losing their ground. Rain gray town, known for its sound, in places small faces unbound. Said small faces unbound. Might fit. Well, let me start this over again. That sucked. This was good. Some acts can't do this. I can do this. I can stop. Mm-hmm. can't remember it. We'll give it one more try. It's called Oddball. Originally, I named it for a loaf of bread that I used to meet in Miami. Yeah, it was originally called Jane's Nut Bread. For some reason, that title bothered me, and I found one that bothers me more. Hush. You know, your urge when you've got this cataract behind you is to play hard and loud. And sometimes, you can't do it. You can't. You know, when it's called for. You know, when the tune... I can do it now. I already did it. Let's put it that way. That's as loud in what it said it's ever going to get. I'm not out here to work, you know. I'm supposed to play. But it's no picnic, really. It's just, I got to do this, you know. I wouldn't do anything else. I started with the violin when I was 5 years old, and I can barely remember that as much as I can remember my grandmother, Ethel Olive, was her middle name, Ethel Olive. I can remember less of my career on the violin, except I do know when I quit. We were living in Cheyenne, and... We were there for about 3 years, I think. I went down to a big brick building. I have no idea what it was, maybe the local abattoir. And there, in the basement, there were a bunch of other little... I'm not even sure I knew what I was doing when I went there. I have a vague memory. I know I walked there. Now you're 5, 6 years... Wait a minute, no. What are you in the second grade? Wait a minute. Wow, 52. I think I said that earlier. But I walked there. I was small. I had a violin. I was an idiot. And I got there, and I went down in the basement, and there were a bunch of other kids my size, my age, with violins and other, you know, string instruments. And there was an adult who was probably 17 years old up in front of a little, you know, podium-like stand. And he said, all right, let's have the downbeat here. And he gave us this thing And on the way to, you know, his direction, I wondered where the music was. You know, there was what note? The note we made. I mean, all wars would come to an end if you could play this note for both sides or all 15 sides. It was the ugliest thing. It was sad, too, because it was so willing. Oh, okay, I'll give you a note and 8 million little sub-teen prepubescent Wyoming nincompoops just go, wah, and everybody's in a different place. It was like Pompeii without the, we were the volcano. It was so bad, and I remember, I can see it going across my, you know, my Times Square screen here. We're terrible, this was what I thought. And I looked at the conductor, and he had frozen in the middle of this cataract of crap that we produce. And he dropped his head on his baton like this and just shook his head. And we saw his life go before our eyes. We destroyed him. And I quit after that. It was the end of the violin. I went to Pioneer School when there was an announcement one night. We went in the daytime. I think at this point I'm in the third grade. The announcement was, there is somebody in the basement by the boiler. If you want to go down there, you can meet him and try one of his instruments. We'd get that kind of thing at Pioneer School. Movies about where to hide when the hydrogen bomb goes off downtown. So I went down there. And he said, if you can, and there was a guy out back there in the dark by the boiler, some poor guy who traveled the state of Wyoming and maybe other states with a van full of oxidizing Civil War euphoniums and, you know, drums with bloodstains on them. Let's rock. He said, well, if you can make a sound on it, pick your instrument, anything you want. And if you can make a sound on it, you can take it home for a year. I don't know. I didn't ask. Well, what happens at the end of the year? I have no idea to this day what happened. I said, well, I'd like to play the flute. I'd gone from bad to worse, in other words. He gave me a flute, and I made a sound sort of like that back there, just foam. And he said, your mouth is too big. And he gave me a trombone, which fortunately gets me to the point of this next tune, which is entirely serendipitous on my part. Let's talk about the word serendipitous. Wherein, hereabouts, words like that. Passion, vehicle, serendipitous, these words should be outlawed. So, he handed me the trombone. I played it for 10, 12 years. The guy who wrote this next tune was a tuba player. That's the connection. I'll take anything I can get. And that's the way he spent World War II in the Wehrmacht, was playing a tuba. That's the way to go to war. If you can't get a room full of children playing the wrong note, get a tuba player. Give everybody a tuba. So this was his biggest hit. This man, Bert Kanfield, had several worldwide hits, big ones. He was the first guy to produce the Beatles. He heard them and he thought they sucked, and he said, the best thing you've got is My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. So that was their first recording. Thanks to the man who wrote this next lovely piece, which I would like to play for you now, finally. You might want to bring with this one back a half a sneeze down on the dB. That's good. Thank you. This is a song. I played this last night, but previously, not very often, because I got sick of it. I played this thing so much, starting in whenever, and that I just had to give it up. I kind of missed it. Some of these things that you quit playing, you keep playing when there's nobody else around. Which should tell you something. It should also tell you something if people keep requesting it, and they keep requesting this. And in this job, not playing what people want to hear is kind of contrary to your well-being. I'm a slow learner, so as a result of that, I will play this tune now. And I'll just pretend you're not here. This was written by Paul Stabler. They said that Louise was not half bad. It was written on the walls and window shade. And though she'd act the little girl, I deceive her, don't believe her, that's her trade. Sometimes a bottle of perfume, flowers, and maybe some lace men brought Louise in such trinkets that intentions were easily traced. And everybody knew at times she cried. Oh, but women like Louise, they get by. This might be a little hard to reach in this elevation. If so, you will know it, and I will play something else. ¶¶ like to go back home. I only know it was cold and white, and I was alone. Won't you tell me how I could see you now? Tell me why everybody tries, everybody lies. Underneath the trees tonight, where little men sleep, all that snow will turn to ice while that lovers creep. Won't you tell me how I could see you now? Tell me why everybody tries, everybody lies. Sunnyland Park, and count their little days turning into dark. And won't you tell me how I could see you now? Tell me why everybody tries, everybody lies. Won't you tell me see you now? Whoa, tell me what everybody tries, everybody lies. I could sing it, but I forgot it toward the end there. See if this works. You should, yeah, I'm going to go over here to this other guitar and play this thing. This is called Wet Floor. A reviewer in New York, when I recently came backstage and said, I like that new tune you played, what was it, Wet Flea? And I thought about it. Wet Flea sounded a little better to me than Wet Floor. And then I thought of this last night. But, you know, then there's the plague. I don't really want to associate with something like that. Thank you. every time I do this tune, I think of the girlfriend of a friend of mine a long time ago, whose idea of a great night out was to go sit in the emergency room in a lobby and watch the casualties come in. I asked him why he did that. Why do you put up with that? He said, well, you know. Stars up in the sky, when the lights along the street, when the TVs in the motels shine, fingertips are frozen, when the empty wind starts blowing, if they've got one, they're all going home. We're just sitting here all by ourselves, you and me, nobody else but me. Sometimes the only light's the night we see. Running, but they'll never ever leave. There's a shadow underneath a tree. Someone running, someone no one needs. Sometimes the only light's the night we see. Shadow underneath the trees. Someone running, someone no one needs. Sometimes shadows are the only light we see. Have to resort to the device here. It's a little hard to hear pitch up in these environs here by the Laughing Waters. And as you know, I've been watching the moths and the bugs crawl around, and they're always attracted to guitar players, even off stage. We know you. Come, brother. You can hear them, the insects. You can hear the chitin clicking under the motel bed. It's a ball. My dentist told me once that I had a really big tongue. He was working on my, I hope, my teeth, and he said, "Wow," or something like that. And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "You have a really big tongue." Oh. And I said, "Well," I looked at him, and so I had left with my eyeballs. And he said, "Doesn't that ever bother you? Does that sound therapeutic? Does that sound like healing to you? If you were a dentist, would you say, 'I'm not going to look in there again. Don't show me that hole.'" You know? Don't forget the merchandise on the way out. One of them. So that's what will happen tonight. You know, I'll go back to the motel. It's a familiar place. I've been doing this I've been on the road for 50 years. And these motels, they have the same, you know, they're all the same. There's spot out, room deodorant, 60-cycle hum. Something that sounds like screams way down the hall, maybe the floor below you. Depending on where you're staying. So I'll go back there and get the lights out. Don't have to look at that art on the wall. I'll be laying there, kind of nodding off, and the question will come to me, what about my tongue? What do I do with my tongue? It's so big. Can't just lay it out on the pillow. You know. Really bad things can happen. Because of this guy, I have put myself in the extremely humiliating position. Had I thought ahead, I wouldn't have done it. Of asking two other dentists, "Do I have a really big tongue?" Shouldn't say that to your dentist, you know. I don't care about your tongue. I just don't ask me. When you find out the instrument that you're supposed to play, for me it was not the violin, it was not the trombone, although that came close. But close is no cigar. I mean, some people get a piccolo, you know, and they make a tweet, they make a little tink on it, and it's theirs. This is it. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Listen to that. Beep. They fall in love with that thing. It's identical to my experience with the guitar. For them, it's a tragedy because the only time they're going to work is on the 4th of July. That's it. I've said that before. For me, it's the guitar. I don't agree with this tuner. All you get with these is an opinion. But my opinion is just so uncertain right now. Can hear the fish out there. We know you. We know what you did to the sunfish. Throwing pell-mells on top of them. Screaming at them. We are the silence of the sunfish. We're going to take care of you now. We only look cute. Well, they have a curfew here. This was the end of the set. And I would like to play the encore now. We all get to leave the building or what? The ground at the same time. I suggest you leave this ground, staying on the ground. Don't just rise up and float away. Although if you could do that, I'd love watching. This has been a great night, and it's always a privilege to play. Thank you for being here. I gotta leave me something to hear with. Like a stone on the water, I can't help but see that another man's love means more to you than the love you stole from me. There's no good in knowing that I was to blame. He's good for you, but let me explain. He's twice the price you've already paid.
Thank you.